This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 a.m. on Thursday, the 22nd of September. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. It is raining outside, so if you're on the road on your way to work, do drive safe. We're taking a look at how global markets closed yesterday.
It's just red, all red. Red. That's all I can say about markets. Because the S&P 500 and Dow were both down 1.7%, while the Nasdaq was down 1.8%. Meanwhile, in Asia, a similar color of red, the Nikkei was down 1.4%, Hang Seng down 1.8%, Shanghai Composite and Straits Times Index were both down 0.2%, and our very own FBMKLCI was down by 1%.
So for some thoughts on where international markets are heading, we have on the line with us Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, good morning. Now, as expected, the Fed raised rates by 75 basis points overnight. This wasn't surprising, but what do you make of the comments by Chairman Jerome Powell? Did you find them alarming?
Good morning. Yes, I think his comments are certainly concerning for markets that were betting on the Fed getting cold feet sooner rather than later. So as you rightly pointed out earlier, I mean, surely the 75 basis point was the majority expectation, widely expected. And in fact, they did not go with the 100 that you had a small, more hawkish camp betting on. But a lot of the surprise came through in the dot plot. And so indeed, the plot thickens, as well as the language. So I'll go with the language first, at least from what he said. I think he's doubled down on whatever he said at Jackson Hole, and he's now alluding to the fact that, you know what, some economic pain is necessary and we are more than willing to bear it to get inflation down. So that was the comment that was backing up a much more elevated dot plot. They're getting, they're signaling that they'll get to between 4.25 to 4.5% by the end of this year. So with two meetings left, and as you pointed out, it's 125 basis points, which means one more 75 and one more 50. And if you think back to June, when he said that, you know, 75 is not the usual, we are really making a habit out of something that's unusual. We're going to get four 75 basis point hikes if the dot plot is right. And the peak rates for dot plots, they're going up to between 4.5 to 4.75 in 2023. And only coming down slightly below four in 2024. So they are hammering home the point not only that it's higher, but as well as higher for longer.
Okay, Vishnu, so we pretty much know that rates are on an upward trajectory, but how painful will that journey be for markets and the US economy? I mean, the Treasury, two-year Treasuries are already signaling the recession is here. It's no way are we going to get that soft landing because it's already above 4%, the first we've seen since 2007. What does this then mean?
I mean, you're absolutely right. We will probably see two-year yields maybe drifting even a little bit higher if they keep to the script, and if we see sticky inflation. 10-year, two-year inversion has deepened further, so has the two-year, 30-year inversion. All these point to a recession. And I think that's probably where we are headed. But really what's more worrying now is not so much the Fed in and of itself. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the implication of much higher interest rates on a more leveraged world. That's really going to, you know, increase a lot of pain points, dampen cash flows. But we also potentially have persistent price shocks if Russia risks continue to linger, if not grow, as we had to confront fleetingly yesterday when Russia made the announcement of reserves being mobilized. So for those reasons, we think we will enter an environment that's not only going to be a downturn, but the forces will be stagflation-like, where prices will be a lot higher for the corresponding levels of demand. So that may be a prolonged impact. And to your question on asset prices, what that means is simply on a discounted cash flow basis, it's just going to be a correction lower and maybe more persistently in asset markets. As more constrained cash flows, force a much harsher discrimination. What we are worried about is not the correction itself, but the collateral damage if you get from cross defaults. and enforce liquidations.
Mm. And looking at another central bank that will be also deciding on rates, the Bank of England meets tonight. How will the depreciating pound sterling factor into their thought processes on monetary policy?
I think it's not at all welcome. I mean, they may not communicate that, but from their current position, net trade position, a weaker sterling is not really going to boost the economy. In fact, if anything, if there any boost expected to the economy, it's just due to the slew of tax cuts that the Truss government is going to put through to the economy. Whereas the very weak sterling is going to exacerbate the near-term inflation risk despite the fiscal strains. So it does increase pressures and it can become a self-feeding downward trend. And speaking of record high interest rates, the sterling is also going to be at a record low versus 1985 levels not seen since then. We don't know whether it can go lower and test those lows as well. So that's really going to increase pain and price shocks for households and corporates alike in the UK.
Meanwhile, Vishnu, in Asia, a host of central banks are actually meeting this Thursday, today, Taiwan, Indonesia and Philippines. What are your expectations in terms of who's going to raise rates in this region as a result of what the Fed just did?
That's a good question. Okay, so I'll start with the Philippines. I mean, the Philippine Central Bank has been signaling that, you know, they've done, and to be fair to them, they've done a cumulative 175 basis points. They've done very upsized hikes up front. And so they've signaled that they're going to slow down to a 25. After this, not so much the 75 basis point by the Fed, but the dot plot shock, I think the call becomes closer between whether they can step down from a 50 or not. So in other words, the news for them may be that, you know, 50 remains the new 25. Bank Indonesia, I think, will not have signal, and markets widely expect 25. But, you know, given the strong dollar move and the corresponding pressures it places on the rupiah, plus there are fuel subsidy cuts that is going to bring in inflation, they will be well placed to do a 50. So we are making the contrarian call to say they should do a 50. Of course, that's a rookie mistake. What they will do is something totally different, but watch out for the currency reaction. I think the Taiwanese central bank will move much more gradually, but you have seen a weak Taiwan dollar and it will continue to weaken. I mean, such is the global tide of the dollar that we cannot defy or ignore.
Okay, so let's talk about currencies. You know, the one that's done really, really badly, of course, is the Japanese yen, and they pretty much have signaled that they're going to keep rates as it is. Do you see then further weakness? Because the yen against the US dollar is already down 20% on a year-to-date basis.
You're right, and I think the yen is giving rise to much discomfort. But I think for now the playbook for them is really to threaten with intervention from the MOF end of things. I think they may start contemplating making some shifts to yield curve control, particularly widening the band, allowing the 10-year yields to go higher, but, you know, on the surfacing, it's neutral because it's a symmetric expansion of the range that it can trade in. But no matter how you look at it, I think that as of today's meeting, the official stance will be that they're sticking with a dovish bias. And I think that may be maintained for the near term. Interestingly enough, the yen has not retested 145 yet, whereas I think other Asian currencies are going to fresh lows as of this morning.
And we do see emerging Asia built up about $2.3 billion worth of FX reserves over the past years. Does this help buffer countries in this region against the risk of stagflation?
Yes, it surely helps. But it helps with, as much as one cup of water does with a shower, not quite enough. So, I mean, my point is, to your point, you know, a lot have built up post-taper and more importantly, over COVID, you know. Funnily enough, perversely enough, over COVID, many have built up a lot. But just the burn rate for this year, Jan through August, has been the rate of burn has been 2 to 6 times as quick as the build rate was. That means we're burning through the cash really quickly. It's helping to a point, but I don't think it's a panacea. It's not going to defy the dollar trend.
Vishnu, thanks as always for the chat. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, giving us his take on the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. A lot to unpack there, a lot to digest, and we are going to be continuing the discussion on the Fed interest rate hike a little later on the show with another economist, this time Kungo from ANZ Bank. So stay tuned for that conversation. We'll have a deeper dive then as well. But maybe looking at some of the other international headlines that we're seeing this morning, we do have news from Meta. They're looking to cut costs by 10%. And this cost cutting is expected to commence over the next few months and is likely to include job reductions.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by this headline because not too long ago, everyone was on a hiring spree. But unsurprisingly, if you look at actually the share price performance, it's down 57% on the year-to-date basis. Tech stocks, tech companies are really feeling the burn with this interest rate hike. But aside from that, I wonder, it's also a reflection of just the general weakness that we're beginning to see in the US economy as corporates react to the fact that the US is not heading for a soft landing. It is heading for a hard landing, and with rates expected to hike at 4.6%, peak at 4.6% in 2023, the ride to get there will be very painful. And if I'm a corporate, I too will start looking at things at how to cut costs ASAP.
We're going to see this trend moving forward. 7:17 in the morning. We are heading into some messages. And stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.